Blog Talk Radio.
Up and dust yourself off and back in the saddle. You're on the front line, everyone's watching. You know it's serious, we're getting closer, this isn't over. The pressure's on, you feel it, but you got it all, believe it. When you fall, get up, oh, oh, and if you fall, get up, eh, eh. Stamina, mina, sangalewa, cause this is Africa. Stamina, mina, eh, eh. Time for Africa. For Africa. Stamina, mina, eh, eh. Waka, waka, eh, eh. Stamina, mina, sakalewa. Anawa, ah, ah. Stamina, mina, eh, eh. Waka, waka, eh, eh. Stamina, mina, sakalewa. It's time for Africa.
Radio. It's Saturday, June the 3rd. We do thank you for joining us from wherever you are listening. It is 8:02 in Central Standard Time, Dallas, Texas. I believe it is 15:03 in Zambia, 13:03 in GMT time, Accra and all those areas there. Thank you for joining us today. We are going to South Korea and we are talking to Katwishi Walia, ZNBC sports journalist, who is traveling with the under-20 Zambia national team, who have just done a phenomenal job and just creating amazing and spectacular plays. So this is our show today. We do thank everybody for joining us. And I believe Mr. Walia is with us right now. Hi, Walia.
Good evening from here. I know it's early in the morning that side.
Yeah, it's 10. It's about 10 p.m. your time, right?
Yes, true.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, which city are we talking to you from?
Right now, I'm in Seoul, just an hour away from where the national team is. The national team is in the city of Suwon, which is about 20 kilometers from Seoul, the capital of South Korea.
Okay, excellent. Okay, well, now we have a picture of what the situation is, right? Okay, Katwishi, let's begin this discussion. FIFA seems to have a lot of tournaments, and to be honest with you, I know you being a journalist, you will agree that certain things only come to one's attention when they affect you. In a way, like we have our Zambia national under-20 team playing in this tournament. What I want to find out from you is, what is the calendar for the under-20 Africa Cup and World Cup. How often do they play these tournaments?
Okay, what you should understand is that, FIFA calendar, the main agenda is the senior national teams, if you want to say that. But after a long time, FIFA realized that you cannot have senior team if you don't have youth teams. And we have seen the introduction of the under-17, the under-20, and under-23 national teams. And these are developmental teams that are supposed to develop players that will eventually play for various national teams. And in the last few years, we've seen the introduction of women football. So this is all coming from the perspective of FIFA that you can never have a strong national team if you do not have a strong, youth football. And that's why we have these, competitions. If we did not have these competitive, competitions, we're not going to have strong national teams, because for countries to have junior teams, you need to engage them into, competitive tournaments. So it comes to the issue of CAF. So we do have the under-17, the under-20, and the under-23. And finally, we do have the national team. Now, coming back to your question, we have a competitive under-20. There's the Africa Cup of Nations under-20, which we had early this year. And, of course, after that, we also have the 2019 under-23, AFCON, and we also have the men senior, AFCON for the men national team, and every 2 years. So all these competitions are within a period of 2 to 3 years.
Okay. That's interesting. And I'm glad you also alluded to the Under-20 Africa Cup, which we hosted. And I know you covered and you followed that event very closely. How was the organization of that tournament in your view? And another thing I want you to address, Katwishi, is just like the Senior African Tournament Games, you notice that the visiting teams are poorly, when they are playing, there's poor attendance, compared to when the local team is playing. What do you attribute that trend to?
Okay, let me start with the organization of the main AFCON. And this is the first time that Zambia was hosting this major CAF-recognized tournament of that magnitude. Okay? And previously, as a country, we've hosted the Zone 6, and per our standard, we would say, yes, that was successfully hosted, and then we were given this opportunity. We had the COSAFA previously, 2-3 years ago, which we had successfully hosted, and now we're given this opportunity to host the under 20 AFCON. FIFA did say that Zambia was on point. The event was hosted successfully. And from the FIFA's point of view, and I think Zambia did a very good point, very good job in hosting this tournament. And such a magnitude comes with its own challenges in terms of, away from the general perspective. We did have, challenges in crowds management, ticketing, tickets would run out. And these are things that would happen, away from the screen. These are some of the things that a person who is watching on TV would not get to see. But if you're watching this event on TV, successfully organized, and we give kudos to the Zambian government. They supported the Football Association of Zambia with all the resources. They made sure that the team was in camp, and the nation at large benefited from this. And during this period, the whole country was united. But away from this, of course, it came with its own challenges. And I think the Football Association of Zambia and FAS, they've learned one or two things, such that in future, if we are going to, have an opportunity of hosting such an event, we need to look at some of the challenges that came with this, tournament. You need to talk of issues of congestion, traffic congestion, how easy can one have to enter a stadium and such issues. But coming back to the issue of the where this tournament was organized, I must mention that according to FIFA, their own record, they did mention that they were happy with the way Zambia organized this, tournament and 100% organized. Now, coming to the issue of some matches being poorly attended, and this we've seen it across the tournament, especially when it's junior tournament, and this is because of one big reason, and this is the reason. These junior tournaments do not have stars. It's these tournaments that produce stars. If it's the main AFCON, if you talk of Cameroon playing, I'll be looking out for the stars, Ivorian stars. So even if it's not Zambia playing, I want to go and watch the Didier Drogbas of this world, the Yaya Toure of this world. You can mention them. So you expect if it's a senior AFCON, the attendance will be much bigger than the junior AFCON. Junior AFCON, because I don't know anybody as a soccer fan, and I'm only going there to watch because it's AFCON, and I want to see how these guys are playing. And so that is the difference, and that's where we have witnessed, that these teams witness fewer, fans in attendance, unlike the hosting team when they are in action. So it's largely because these junior teams do not have stars in their team, unlike the AFCON, which will produce already established stars. So even if it's not Zambia, playing, I want to watch the Didier Drogba, the Yaya Toure, and we can mention them. So that is the main reason that can be attributed to a poor, attendance of soccer fans, at such functions.
Okay. Let's get to the team now. I just wanted for you to give us perspective on one or two things to do with FIFA tournaments, CAF, and all those things. Now, let's get to this team, Katuishi. How long have these boys been together, and how was the team put together? I mean, how was this team put together? There seems to be a certain chemistry amongst them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll take you back to 2016, because this is 2017.
Yes.
Of course, we knew 3 years ago that we were hosting the 2016 AFCON. 2017 AFCON. Yeah, sorry. We knew we were hosting the 2017. So the Football Association of Zambia has got developmental clubs. So certain officials were tasked to identify players. That was in June, last year. And over 100 players were summoned. And these players under the age of 20 were summoned, and they were assessed through the various camping that were held, in Lusaka at the Olympic Youth Development Center. And if you remember, we did that. We did have the problem of the then under 20 being suspended from the COSAFA because Zambia fielded the so-called players who were, above the age of 20. So that whole team was disbanded. And the then under 17 was put to be under 20 so that in the future you avoid age cheating, except for one or two, three players from the disbanded under 20. So this current team is coming from national trials. The Football Association of Zambia did conduct national trials where they, through provincial teams, they called certain players, called them to Lusaka, trials were conducted, and then by November, 30 players were called in camp, and by December, the 30 players, that list was trimmed to 25, and this is a team that went to COSAFA in South Africa. So if you want to ask me for how long has this team been together, I'll tell you the team has been together from October last year up to
okay.
there. They've been together.
Oh, wow.
They went to South Africa. They won the COSAFA. After the COSAFA, the government sponsored this team to go to Spain for a month. They came back, were in camp, prepared for the AFCON. They prepared for the AFCON. They took part in the AFCON. Even after the AFCON, government sent the team back to Spain.
Mm.
After Spain, they came straight to South Korea. So they've been together for almost 6 months, if you may ask me that.
Okay. Wow, it's amazing. And everybody, I think, watching, even yourself, Katrish, you'll agree with me. I mean, everybody who has called in here. To be honest with you, they seem to look like they've been together like a year or 2 years, something like that. Let's go back to what you just said about the way the team, the process that was used to select the team. You said about 100 players. Are you able to, I don't know how much information you may be able to put into this question. From was this nationwide? These 100 players came from across the nation, or it was just from across the line of rail?
These players came from across the nation, because this, if you understand, the composition, the Football Association of Zambia comprises of clubs, and these clubs,
yes,
they come from various provinces. So the Football Association of Zambia has what they call the technical department.
Okay.
So the technical department is an officer at the Football Association of Zambia. It's supposed to know if we are looking for the best number nine. Where can we find the best number nine? Is it from Mongo? Is it from Kalavo? Is it from Shangombo? Is it from Kalavo? So you pick your best 20 strikers, bring them together, let them compete.
Okay.
So all in all, I can say this was national trials, because if you look at the current composition of these under 20 players, they are not coming from Lusaka. You have Edward Banda coming from Kasama. You have others coming from the northwestern province. We have Fashion Sakala coming from the eastern province. So this gives you a picture that this is a true reflection of what was picked from the national trials that were conducted.
Okay, excellent, excellent. I'm sure Dr. Patrick here and everybody here is impressed to hear that this was done across nationwide. We are very strong on doing things across the whole country of Zambia here, Katrishi, on this forum. And interesting to hear Edward Banda coming from Kasama, Kelvin. Let's continue here before I allow my friends. Let's try to learn more about these guys. And Katwishi, watching this team, they always seems to be in high spirits, singing. I mean, wherever they are clapping, they are dancing. What do you attribute this to, this mindset that they have to? I mean, who is amongst them? Where is this coming from? Who is there? Who is spearheading all this high spirit we are seeing in the team?
I think this is a team that is no longer a team of players, and they are now like a family. They know each other. I mean, being together for 6 months, quite a long time, and Zambia being a Christian nation, we want to put everything in the hands of God. So, I mean, these boys, there's currently in Zambia an adage which is going on, it's gone viral on social media, Bola Naleta, football with God. So, I mean, it's just part of every Zambian. Whatever you do, you put God first. So, and I think this is something that the boys have adopted, that for you to achieve anything, you put God first. And just like in the army, when you're going for war, you put God first, you sing, you choose something that will motivate you. What is it that is going to motivate you as a team? Is it through singing? Is it through shouting? And I think the boys have adopted this Bola Naleta slogan, and to them it's working well, and it's something that is even, expressed. Even when they score, they will celebrate and they will pray. They will not forget their God, because they believe Bola Naleta, only with God that you get your desired result. So I think to the boys, they realize that you need to realize and accept that for you to get your desired results, you need to put God first, and you need to show this through singing. And this is something that has been able to motivate them. And when you see them in camp, they are in high spirits, they are motivated. And one thing that is unique about this team is they have a very high fighting spirit. They have the attitude. And I think it's something that is working well. And I'm sure the technical bench has taught them never give up. One spirit, one morale, one spirit, we can conquer the world. And I think it's paying results often.
Excellent. When they were entering the pitch, I mean, I think that was the only game I saw. I watched like from the beginning to the end. Thanks to social media, like you have said, I heard this comment from one of the commentators. You know that thing when they are entering the pitch, they are all, each one of them is each one is doing his hand, putting his hand on his head and swinging it like that. And the commentator was saying that it's asking for favor from God. How did that start? Do you have an idea how that started?
I think I can attribute, first of all, I will agree with you, simply means favor is with us. God's favor is with us. And when you enter the pitch, you are acknowledging that with God we shall not fail. And I think I will attribute that to one of the biggest clubs in Zambia, Nkana Football Club. And I think we credit them because they are the initiators of, or the ones that coined the favor slogan. Because each time they would score, they would do their hands on their head and say, favor is with us. And from Nkana, it spread to the senior national team. And we've seen from the senior national team, it has gone down to the junior Chipolopolo. And I think any sports discipline that is representing Zambia at any international, you know, platform, they are doing the favor slogan. And this simply means God's favor is with us. If you ask me how it started, it's very difficult to say, probably something that you need to investigate, but that can be attributed to Nkana Football Club. They are the originator of the favor slogan.
No, that's a good answer enough. I'm sure everybody here appreciates that, Dr. Gasonso. We have learned something at least. I was wondering where it started from. I'm like, oh, wow, that's something. And even for the commentary team and people in the commentary box to take note of that. Let's continue here. Before we get into the technicality, describe this young team's relationship with the coaching staff and amongst themselves. I guess, what is that? What do you observe is their relationship with their coaching staff?
You see, this is a team that is a family now. Believe you me, if you saw the first game against Portugal, Patson Daka was substituted because he had an injury, and that affected the whole team. So this team is a family. You remove two players, they will not function normally or the way they're supposed to function. So this is a team that has been together for over 6 months. And believe you me, you put people together for more than 6 months, they stop being strangers. They stop being strangers. They become one. They become brothers. And they relate well. And when you're in camp, you can see that this is more than a team. This is a family. These are brothers. They know what they are here for, and they're encouraging each other. And it's the fighting spirit in the team that has made the team come this far, because they believe in themselves, and that slogan that they have adopted, Bola Nalesa, has help them to even go further and further in this tournament. So I think they are beyond or mere aware, or apart from being pleased, they are more like a family.
Katwishi, I know you are a sports journalist, and you are very technical in your analysis. Don't you think in a way that may work against them, that aspect of if one of them gets injured or substituted, and, you know, just anything, and it affects their morale or spirit. Don't you think that's that could be a negative connotation on the performance? I don't know what you think.
I agree with you, and that is my fear. And God forbid, nothing happens to any of the players because the team has developed a chemistry. They know if you have the ball, you move two steps, you know where to find Paxton Daka, you know where to find Enoch Mwepu, you know where to find Fashion, Sakala. So there's a chemistry, and in this chemistry, when you remove one component, one chemical, the reaction is not complete. And that is my fear, because this is a team that has been together for over 6 months. They know each other very well. And when you remove something in the chain, from the chain, the whole team will feel it. And that is likely to affect the performance.
Yeah, it's very true. That's a concern.
And this came out when we lost to Costa Rica, because there were a lot of teams that were next to the team. And look at how we performed in the game against Costa Rica. We lost 1-0. Captain Solomon Sakala was on the bench. A lot of people were substituted, were arrested, and there was something missing from the team. And that's how we couldn't recover from that loss. We couldn't come back because the chemistry was missing from that team.
Yeah, I agree with you, and you have basically answered one of the questions that I was actually going to ask later, to say what do you attribute their loss to, and all those things. Yeah, because it's very evident. You are listening to Zambia Block Talk Radio. We're speaking to Katuishi Bwalya, ZNBC sports journalist. Is traveling with the Zambia Under-20 national team in South Korea. They are participating in the Under-20 FIFA World Cup, which is currently going on. What I'm going to do here is I'll go to my colleagues. I'm sure they've got their own questions to ask here. We have people that have called in, our regular contributors, and everybody that listens every time. Kelvin, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan. How are you?
Good. Today we are in South Korea. Isn't this exciting?
I say it's very exciting to listen to the inside details of the motivation happening in the under-20 camp. That's very exciting.
Excellent. Go ahead if you have a question for Katuishi, then I'll go to Dr. Kasonso, Dr. Patrick, and Vatsebohie, Namunja, and everybody. You have any question for him?
Absolutely. Hey, Katuishi, good evening, and thank you for that information. We as soccer fans are always looking for some intricate details of what's happening in the camp, what's motivating our boys. And at this point, I think every Zambian is proud of their achievements so far. We can only wish them the best of luck on Monday. Before I ask you my question, please, when you get a chance, tell Mr. Beston Chambeshi that Kelvin was saying hi. We are very, very good friends emanating from the Nkana Red Devils days.
Sure,
Katuishi,
sure.
My question is, and we've all seen the display of these young men, very, very phenomenal at this point. My concern is continuity. Do you know of any fast strategies to ensure continuity from under 20 when they graduate to under 23? And I ask that because we've had great players, the names of Gift Kampamba, Moses Chone, Sinkala, and the like. Do you know of any strategy by FAS to ensure continuity? Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kelvin, and I must tell you that is a 1 million question, and that's the question that all of us have been asking. And if you look at the 2012 AFCON winning team, that is the product of the under-20. This is a team that went to the World Cup in Canada in 2006-2007, and it's because of the strategy, the plan by the Football Association of Zambia. This team was playing football together for 10 years. And the result, we can even go back to the annals of history, we can say this team brought us the AFCON. And we're asking the same question. I asked the same question to the Football Association of Zambia General Secretary. But you see, FAZ may have a very good plan for the team. But it's the individual players that have it all. Are we going to have players who are disciplined off and on the pitch? And this is something that has killed Zambian football. We've seen great players who've excelled. They just get a little bit of the money and they abandon football. They come back to training. And this is something that is beyond the Football Association of Zambia. This issue is the Football Association of Zambia. Even parents have a role to play in this boy. Because at the end of the day, after this tournament, these boys will go to their various homes and they are under the custody of their guardians. So if you are a parent of a player, I should make sure, are you going to train? Are you abusing alcohol? How are you using your money that you are getting? You know, so all these issues should not be, you know, left to the Football Association of Zambia, because FAZ would only require these players probably 3 times in a year, and the rest of the month these players are in the custody of either the clubs or their parents. So FAZ may have a plan, but the sole responsibility is to the individual players. We should tell these players, you can earn a living in football. You can reduce poverty through football. And this, you earn an income through football. So take football very seriously. And I think this is an issue that is a national problem, because in the past, I don't need to mention names. We've seen great players whose careers have been, you know, left in misery because of the discipline off and on the pitch. So we need to tell these players that the future is bright and the future is in your hands. And this is not a matter we should leave to the Football Association of Zambia alone. We are the parents, the stakeholders, the managers, the scouts, even the clubs where these players are playing from. Because at the end of the day, these players have made a name for themselves and the scouts are all over. If you have interest for these players, if these players can come this far, it means they can play in any European, you know, league. So why should we sell these players to clubs that are not even known, that clubs that we've never even heard of? So for me, it's a national issue, and these are national assets that we should protect. So to answer your question, let's not leave this issue to the Football Association of Zambia. It's a first issue, parents and all stakeholders, for us to maintain this, that in the next 10 years, we need to have this team, and this team can even take us to the World Cup.
Excellent. That's an excellent question, Kelvin. This gives us an assignment that we need to talk to FAZ about this after this. Okay, let's go to the Emirates. Dr. Kasonso, please, your question.
Yes, Katrishi, hi, how are you?
I'm very fine, thank you so much. How are you?
I am fine. Your name actually threw me off. I thought it was a typo for Kalusha Wiley, so, and I was by that name.
I know.
Yeah.
Yes.
I guess you're having a good time. The boys are actually making us very, very proud. I heard the commentator say, the way these guys are playing, it's like they have a higher power. So it's like even non-believers can see the power of God working on them. I was interested in the comments that the court made, Preston Chambesh. He had mentioned that he remembered that in the same place, Germany wired them when they played with the Kalusha Warriors in that place. They were German wired them. So he felt like he revenge on them. But just remind him to beware that the next team is the Italians that they wired for nothing with Kalusha Warriors in the same year. So, but tell him to beware of the Italian tactic called Catanasio defense, where they all load themselves at the back. And if the moment your defenders also come to join in an attack, then there are two characters run at them. That's the Italians win all their cups. Even the Juventus, we are going to watch some of that tonight when we play the final match. My question is, you say that they have been together for 6 months. What about school?
Yes.
You heard the question.
You are done with your question?
They've been together for 6 months. What about school?
Okay, yeah. These individuals who have made the decision that football is their career. And to answer your question, I've interacted with most of them. Yes, others have gone up to grade 10, 12, but these are individuals that have realized if I take this path of education, the future is not bright. So probably in football, there's future, and that has come out true. So if their future is in football, and this is where we can have stakeholders, their guys have come this far. They are able to excel in football. How can we help them make, you know, important decisions like any other person that has made it in school? We cannot force them to be in school if that's not where their calling is. But if football is where their calling is, let's follow them there and teach them good principles of life. So if you ask them about what about school, I'll tell them, well, they had options either to take the route of education or the route of sport. And it has come out to say even in sport you can make millions than a person who has taken this path of education. But not saying that education is not very important, but, you know, as stakeholders, we need to follow them in this route of sport. Let's follow them and ensure they make the right decision. Because if they make money, they need to know how to spend this money. And it's not too late. In life, it's not too late. Even at 40, you can go back to school. So someone who is playing football can still go back to school. So for me, I think that's not the end. If someone finished their educational or stopped school in grade 9, you can still follow them and tell them to say, hey, it's not too late. You can still do your football and your education. So to answer your question, yes, most of them have abandoned the route of education because they have taken the path of education.
Sorry, Nathan, can I just jump in real quick? Yes. Okay, yeah, I mean, that's, Dr. Kasonso, that is a good point. Obviously, we would love to see our boys, you know, pursue, you know, school as well as their talent. But like Katwishi has, you know, elaborated, if their calling is in sport, let them, you know, pursue that route. However, I think, Katwishi, you probably need to mention to Faz to consider engaging a life coach. And this life coach is not just to teach them, you know, basics of education. No, the life coach would teach them, you know, financial responsibility, would teach them social responsibility, would teach them, you know, maybe basic English and math, just so, you know, to open up their minds. Because we know that, you know, education opens up your mind to look at things, you know, in different perspectives. And I think that is the biggest problem today, where we have players, you know, retiring from football and just suffering, you know, until they die. We need to curb that. And I think it should start now, where we put in all these measures, such as, you know, a life coach. Thanks.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
there's no...
Yeah, to,
Just to answer that question. Okay, I want to
just answer that.
Can you add it? I'm not asking a further question, but I'm just amplifying on Kevin's point so that you can tackle it both. What other teams are doing? They're like the boys they have. They are young people. They still have got academies where they teach them language, writing, and also math. They can be able to read their contracts in the future. Those kids can come and play in these leagues, but they need to be able to understand how to live in civilized society. We're not saying they should go and get a degree. What we're just saying is at least let them get some basic education. It can be part of the curriculum, part of the training, and part of the camp, like other countries are, because those kids they are playing against, they still have school in their curricula as part of the game and part of the training and part of the system. At least basic math and writing and stuff like that.
Katwish, you want to respond or comment?
Okay. Yeah, let me respond. And my answer to that is that as we speak now, the Football Association of Zambia and First National Bank, FNB, have signed an MOU where FNB has given some money, about 1 million kwacha, 1 million kwacha to the Football Association for the development of youth football. Now, under this MOU, when the team was in camp for the AFCON, FNB would send their officers to provide financial literacy to this boy. So to answer your question, I agree with your contribution on this issue. I don't want to speak on behalf of FAS, but as a journalist, this is what I know is happening. FNB has been sending officers to educate players on financial literacy. Players should be taught how to open a bank account, because in the past, you know, someone would open a bank account for a player. If I'm a player, I want to withdraw some money, I have to engage a third person to go and withdraw some money. So at the moment, things have changed, and I can confirm to you that FNB, when the team was in camp, they would send officers to teach these players on financial literacy. Not just FNB. The Barclays Bank is sponsoring the Barclays Cup in Zambia. And before each tournament, players, they are having workshops for players to teach them financial literacy. So I think we are moving in the right direction as a country. And you cannot compare the football players of 20 years to the players of, let me say, 2012, the 2012 AFCON winning players. And if you compare, you say the 2012 AFCON winning players, they've learned from the mistakes of the other players. And this is because of many stakeholders that have come on board to say football is a career of 5 years. After that, you are doomed. So it's either you make your money in 5 years, and it depends how you spend that money, or else you'll be a beggar. So I think this is something that the Football Association of Zambia has realized, that it is very important, and it is already, you know, doing something in that line. And I think I can say it's something that is very important, because, like you mentioned, it's not just about degrees. You need to know how to spend your money. You need to know how to read your contract before you append your signature. You need to interpret your contract, because you realize certain players have signed 2 contracts and they didn't even know what they were doing. And so when you bring in the experts, financial experts, to come and explain these issues, in the next 5 years, we are going to have very few players who will be destitute and very few players who will be entangled in this mess that we are talking about.
It's very important, because from here, from the way this team is playing, everybody can tell that they are going to end up in some Super League club in Europe or in South America somewhere, making a lot of money. And like Dr. Kasonso and Kelvin have said, if they are not able to read their contract, that's where you have those problems. We all know the history here. When the national team is trying to call them to play, they have problems because they didn't understand the certain clause on how that is going to work. Okay. That you said, well, you have a question for Katwishi? Uncle Daniel? Okay, it is probably. Let me come into my neighborhood, Dallas. Namunji, are you just listening, or you have a question for Katwish?
I'm just listening.
Okay, excellent. I'm sure we've learned quite a bit of things here, right, Namunji?
Yes, a lot. It's interesting.
Yeah, excellent. Okay, Katwish, I'll let Dr. Patrick have a comment towards the end of our show. How has been the travel schedule, and what is the distance between the towns? South Korea is not a very big country. Is there so much traveling going on?
You may say it is a small country, but with my experience here, it is a big country, because the team was stationed in Jeju, and this is a city which is an island, and you know, if you look at the distance from Zambia to Korea, it's quite far, about 15 hours flying. And
I'm talking about within the tournament schedule.
Yes, I'm coming.
Okay.
I'm coming to that. So Jeju is an island. So if I'm in Seoul, I want to go to Jeju, the only way to get there is flying, and there are many flights going into Jeju. So you can either go by flying or by ferry. So you can't go there by road, or by train or by sub. So this means that if flights are fully booked, it's a challenge because there are so many flights going into Jeju. It is an island. Yeah, but that's something that has already been worked out by FIFA. So from Seoul to Jeju, it takes you about an hour. And when they played the third game against Costa Rica, the game was played away from Jeju. It was played in Cheonon. And Cheonon is about 2 hours drive by road from Seoul. So it's something that is manageable and not something that one can complain about and give as an excuse. I don't think so.
Okay. How have the Korean people responded to this team?
To the tournament in general?
No, to the Zambian national team's performance as player, as a team.
Okay. If you saw on TV, there are so many Koreans who are supporting the Zambian national, the under-20 national soccer team. And this is because Koreans are familiar with Zambia. And this is largely because before this tournament, there was a four nations tournament which was held right here in South Korea, and Zambia was one of the teams that was invited. So Zambia made a name from that four nations tournament, which Korea eventually went on to win, and Zambia, you know, came second. And when you go into the streets of Seoul, they see you, Zambia, 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 and Zambians are selling like old cakes, and everybody wants to be identified with Zambia. They have their own reasons, which I can't go into the details, but this is something that you can tell. Even the Monday game, everyone is saying, we are coming to support Zambia. Koreans are not so much into football because probably they're in their own world, but even the few people that are coming to watch football, you can see from the screens, majority are supporting Zambia. And everybody you meet on the street, they're telling you, I'm coming to support Zambia. You ask them why, they'll tell you, I love Zambia. And it ends there, so you respect that.
Yeah,
Bankama, can I ask Katrisha a question?
Okay, just a moment before I lose this thought, Kelvin. I'm wondering, where are they getting those Zambian jerseys, Katrisha, the Koreans?
They are the friends of... friends of Zambia. I must mention this. I met a couple, an Indian couple. They lived in Chingola for 37 years.
Wow.
They are now living in New Zealand. Their son was born in Zambia, is now, you know, working in Holland. So when they heard that Zambia is in South Korea, because of the attachment they have with Zambia, and probably when they were leaving Zambia, he was working for the mine. So when he was working for the mine, he got 5-4 jerseys as a souvenir. So when he came here, he distributed them. And equally, even one or two people that are here, Pastor Makembo came with 5-4.
Pastor Makembo from? Where's Pastor Makembo from?
As in from Lusaka, Zambia.
He traveled from Lusaka with the team?
No. He came later. He came later to cheer the team. And he's the one who's been distributing these flags, these scarves. And, of course, we should also mention that there's a South Korean contractor, Daewoo, who's constructing the Kazungula Bridge, and because of the attachment that they have with Zambia, they've also mobilized the Koreans to come and cheer the Zambians. And when you're sitting in the classes, before you realize there's this person distributing scarves, distributing leaves, and before you realize the entire terrace is painted in national colors.
Yeah, that's wow. Okay, Kelvin, quickly, before we talk about Monday's game, go ahead with your question, Kelvin.
Yeah, you took the question right out of my mouth. I was going to ask Katrisha if fans has taken advantage of Zambia's popularity in Korea to sell replica jerseys. But I think he's addressed that.
He has addressed that question. Katrisha, I sent you an article from BBC website where, Beston Chambeshi, the coach, has admitted that he has used the word a leaky defense In other words, the defense is porous. The defense is, I mean, one can see this in the Zambia-German game where they conceded two goals in, two, 3 minutes? Something like that. Any information about what is being done about the defense going into Monday's game?
Well, for me, I would not call that weak defense. I would call that lack of game management. I mean, if you have 4 minutes to go before the end of the game and you are leading 3-1, I mean, hold on to the ball. And it's an issue of tactic. When you're leading 3-1, you have 4 minutes to go. Don't be in a hurry to score. Hold on to the ball. Pass. Delay. And, take it easy. Make a substitute that is going to delay the game. Yes, the Germans were very quickly. They came attacking. I mean, 4 minutes is quite a long time, and it's just because tactical discipline and weak game management. And we cannot attribute it so much to a weak defense because, I mean, if the entire 85 minutes you've held on and you have not conceded, it means your defense is solid. So how do you manage the game? Do you have the mental capacity to manage the game 4 minutes before the end of it? And this is something that needs to be spiked in our players to say, don't panic. If you are leading 1-0, as much as you have already won the game, so take it easy, pass the ball. Don't be in a hurry to score because when you have the ball, shoot long balls, they'll come for you attacking and... They say the best defense is to attack, and if you're not attacking, then you're giving ammunition to your opponents to attack you. And that's what came out in that game against.
Actually even addressed my other question. I wanted to say that I wanted you to comment or sort of give an analysis on what you think is working for this team tactically. I mean, in terms of systems, I mean, the people that watch soccer so much, the Kasonsos and Kelvin probably can phrase this question better than myself. What do you think is working for this team tactically? Or maybe you've already answered it. I don't know if you want to comment on this.
No, but I can attempt to also say, tactically, we are not good as a country because we are playing teams that are tactically superior than us. They are able to read the game, and just before we played Iran, I met the coach, and we were greeting each other at the hotel lobby, and then he knew 9 of our players, and he mentioned them by name. Zambia, I know all your players. I know Enoch Mwepu. I know Fashion Theory. I know, and that is intimidating.
So sorry to cut you short. So that was an indication that he had studied the players, right?
Yes. That is an indication that our opponents, they know us very well. Just before we played Germany, the German coach, I found him analyzing fashion, they were analyzing his foot, his leg, how he turned, not the whole body, how he turned. So they were telling the goalkeeper to say, don't look at the body movement. He can move like this. But when he is like this, and these are technicals of the game, and when you compare the two, if you ask, well, let me tell you, how much does he know about each of the Italian players? So that in itself, tactically, we are defeated. It's because we are defeated because we are playing against a team that is superior when it comes to issues of football infrastructure. They have the technology to read the game, and our friends, they have 5 people who are not on the technical bench. They're just analyzing Zambia. So they'll just bring this data to the coach to say, in the Zambian team, these are the players to look for A, B, C, D, and this is how they play. And it's up to they have done a job for you as a coach. But in our team, I ask myself, is it the same guy? And it's probably not the same. So tactically, we have been defeated, but it's because of the fighting spirit that has made us come this far, and the skill. We have the talent, and the skill as a country, and probably that's why we are this far.
Yeah, and then the fighting spirit can only take you so far. Katwishi, I can't let you go without asking this question. As far as soccer is concerned in Zambia, this is one thing I'm very passionate about. Has this team's performance, and other teams for that matter, and success convinced the powers that be that we need to have confidence in our local coaches? What's your comment on that?
We need to have confidence in our local coaches, yes. But what is confidence without capacity in our coaches? I've talked about reading a game. You need to have expertise in reading the game. How is, because, I mean, for you to prepare for war, you need to understand your opponent's faith. So if I'm a coach, I'm unable to read the Italian, already I'm weak. So we need to invest a lot. And investment starts at the junior level. This is a very good example. This team has been together for 6 months. And this is what they are able to produce. And this is what we have been saying. Even for the national team, you don't expect the national team to be together for 3 weeks and you expect them to produce results. It takes 8 years to produce an athlete who will win your country gold at an Olympics. So if you want to dream of going to the World Cup, let's not think of this current national team. Probably not even this current undertone. If we're thinking of going to the World Cup, let's start with the 12-year-old now. You get the point? Say, okay, fine.
Yeah.
2022 is not this under 20. It's the boys that are 12-year-old now. We plan that they are the ones that will take us to the World Cup. And then we give them right infrastructure and the right coaching staff. And let's send our coaches for training, because football is now... You can study football on a computer. You can plot out your opponents who fall on a computer. Do we have that technology? Are we going to win the game by mistake or by sheer luck? So these are the issues that we need to understand. It's not just a matter of I've played football the last 20 years and then I can coach. Football has changed, yes. Dynamics in football that we need to study. And as a nation, we need to agree and understand that if we want medals, if we want to go to the World Cup, we need to do ABCD, and definitely we are going to book a place at the World Cup without any difficulty.
That's true. We just want to mention to our listeners, partners, that Zambia Block Talk Radio is a privately funded radio organization by friends, partners, and supporters. If you want to support us raise this year's budget, we have a GoFundMe link on my Facebook page, Nathan Nkrumah or Roger Chari. You can go there and help us. Katwishi, under 1 minute, how do you see Monday's game?
Monday's game will be very tough. And like I told the boys, you have beaten big guys. Portugal, Germany are a better side than Italy.
Okay.
In football, just believe in yourself. You believe in yourself, you do it. And I'm very confident the boys have come this far because they are determined. It's just determination, the fighting spirit, and Italy is beatable, and I have no doubt our boys can beat Italy only if they are determined and they believe in themselves that they can do it, and they show this that they can do it when they beat Germany and Portugal.
Excellent. That was Katwishi Waria, ZNBC sports journalist, traveling with the under-20 national team in South Korea. Katwishi, thank you for taking the time, and we shall be following what's happening. Everybody, let's go back in. We are going to open forum with Kelvin.
Thank you so much for the time.